today, and we thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. What would we do without the Holy Spirit? We would not even be able to do your work. But thank you that you have not left us without help. And so we ask, Lord, and we deploy that help in the name of Jesus. We ask for your blessing upon the service. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Beautiful. We have a new book. And so I am going to launch it at the end of my message. Amen. But please be seated and let's talk for a few minutes about church growth. Amen. Now, it's a blessing. By the grace of God, we were traveling around a little bit. We went to, I think it was Argentina first, right? And then to New Zealand and to Tonga. Wow. Yes. Do you know where Tonga is? Okay. You should look it up on the map. It's a dot in the ocean. But there, and from there to Fiji, where we also had a camp. We had a camp in New Zealand, and then we also had a camp in Fiji. And we had just one night service in Tonga. And what a blessing it was. Amen. And the more we see the churches, the more we understand and appreciate the grace of God that is upon our prophet. Amen. Because some of those places where we have brothers and sisters, it is quite shocking. You get it's quite a surprise that far away in those places, the same grace, the same anointing is at work and is producing the same things that it produces everywhere else. Amen. Amen. So that fills me with hope and excitement for here also, because it is the same grace that is at work. Amen. Amen. And so God's work can flourish right here with us in LA too. Can I have an amen? Amen. Right. So I believe Pastor Charles has been preaching and teaching powerfully. Okay. About church growth, isn't it? And he's talked about a number of things. I mean, what better sermon do we need to hear at this time? Amen. Amen. How to grow what God has given us. And it's important for us, you know, church growth, according to our beautiful book, Church Growth, which I don't really see here. Oh, is it there? I don't. Okay. Now, this is our library, isn't it? Yes. And it's grown, actually, so we need to change it. It's we now have many more books, and all our members must endeavor to have all our books. What it means is that you have all our sermons in advance. What a blessing. Yeah, you can have all our sermons, so you can even predict what we'll be preaching. And start revising it before you come to church. Amen? Amen? So you come to church already knowing what pastor is going to preach. And that can also be a kind of blessing. All right. So I was saying that in chapter 1 of that book, Church Growth, you know, you see that the prophet explains and teaches that church growth calls for a burning desire, isn't it? A burning desire that we must want the church to grow. Amen. Amen. Now, let me just go to it. Okay. We must want the church to grow. We must want to see expansion. We must want to see growth. We must want to see the church become greater than it ever has been. Yes. Amen. Amen. Why? Because every living thing that is well grows. Don't you think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And things don't work out where there is no vision. Now, the burden for the church to grow must not be found only in the pastor. Are you getting it?
Yes.
It must also become every individual's burden and interest to want the church to grow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. So it says here, a burning vision becomes the invisible engine of all church growth. Do you get it? Not a passive desire that the church will grow, but an active burning desire that the church will grow. Amen?
Amen.
So that's something we need to pray for. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
That we need to ask the Lord to give us that desire, that restlessness, you know, that makes an individual feel uncomfortable and feel like, God, you need to do something.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You need to do something. Lord, I want the church to grow. Now, if you gave birth to a child and the child was not growing, I think you'd be disturbed. That's what is going to send you after all the specialists in Los Angeles. What do you think? You're going to go find every doctor anywhere in the city, even across state lines, traveling to different cities and traveling to different countries and going to find different concoctions and different herbs and different kinds of medicines and everything you can to correct that situation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the expression of a burning desire. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now that burning desire is what must reside in every one of us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because really, if it is found only in the shepherd, it won't go very far. Why? Because it's the sheep that actually give birth to sheep. Isn't it? Because shepherds give birth to shepherds. And sheep give birth to what? Sheep. Amen.
Amen.
So if it's not found in the sheep and found only in the shepherd, then something is wrong. And we're not going to achieve much. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so the burning desire to see the church grow must be found in all of us. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Including LP Michelle, who's watching us. Because I told her today I'm going to mention her name a number of times. Amen. So that's number one. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes. And so we need to have that. So that's what has inspired us to be talking and teaching about church growth. You know, and it turns out also that prophet is also teaching and talking about church growth, even in his big church that looks already grown. Do you understand? Because it must never end. If we don't pursue church growth, if the church does not keep growing, because every church is plus and minus, plus and minus. You find people leave churches, people join churches. And the church that is growing is simply that more people are joining than those who are unjoining. Are you getting what I'm saying? Another way to put it is that the church's front door is larger than its back door. Do you see? The back door is where people leave, and the front door is where people come in. Now, if you're filling anything and you're putting in more... Is that a new alarm? Pastor Charles, what did you do? If you're filling anything and you're putting in more than you're losing, then that thing continues to grow. Amen. Amen. In spite of what you lose. Hallelujah. No matter what you do, you will lose some people. Even Jesus lost some people. One day, he preached a certain message, I tell you. And after he preached, you know what message he preached? He said that unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, that message so offended people, you get it, that the Bible said from that day, they stopped walking with him. They walk with him no more. You get it? Yeah. The pastor is now saying we must eat him and eat his flesh and drink his blood. What is he doing? Is he turning us into cannibals or what? What has this whole church thing come to? You know, is it becoming a cult? Is it what, you know? And obviously he was talking about something else, but it is the misunderstanding of the people. Not that he said anything that was wrong. What he said was right and it was true. And to today, we eat his flesh and drink his blood to have life. Do you understand? So he was right. And what he was saying was true. And it's true to this day. But it is the shallowness of his hearers and the lack of spirituality in his hearers and the people who did not understand what he said that offended them and it caused them to leave. Amen. Yeah, so many reasons why people would leave a church include the misunderstanding of messages and so on and so forth. So many other reasons, offenses, and you know, we have a whole book on those who leave you. Do you see? Yes, so there's that. However, you know, that giving still does not mean that a church cannot grow. Amen. Amen. And if we're doing things right on the other end, in spite of people leaving the church, as is the case in all churches, you know, we will still experience growth because we are bringing in more people than we are losing. Are you getting it? So that means that the work of bringing in people, the work of mobilizing people, the work of going out on evangelism, the work of carrying and inviting people and taking the time to go out of our way to bring them into the church. Do you understand? That work must not stop. Amen. Now, when you've been doing it and struggling for some time, you realize that you can become discouraged. You see, you can become discouraged and you feel worn out and you feel tired and you feel like this effort is not really producing much. But when we read the story of the Anakazu man, you see that the Anakazu man in Luke chapter 14, he sent his servant and they came back empty-handed. I tell you that all the people who said they would come, they failed to come. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, that means, let's look again also at that scripture and look at it briefly. Luke chapter 14. The book of Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and let's read from verse 16. It says, "And he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Can you see that? Yeah. Yes. And they all, everybody say they all. So you see, if you have invited people to church and they didn't come, you should be encouraged by this scripture that you are not alone. Are you getting the picture? Yes. You are not alone. He said, they all with one consent. It's as though they had actually had a meeting. You get it? And had agreed together that, you know, we will not go. How many of you have experienced that before? Where the whole lot of people who all gave you their word, even gave you their phone numbers and all that. I remember one time we went on outreach in this area and I met these two guys, you know, kids, actually teenagers. And they promised me that they were going to be in church the next day. It was a Saturday, you know, and the guy showed me his house. He showed me where he lived and everything. And I went home full of hope. You know, on Sunday morning when I arrived, I came here for a little bit and then I took off and drove to the other side, or the other side of the freeway, which is where the guy lived. And I went to the place. I knocked on the door. I rang the bell. Nobody opened the door. Nobody came to the door. So I sat in my car, kind of feeling sad and defeated. And I sort of drove off to come back to church. But after I drove one block, I felt, no. I cannot accept defeat like that. These guys cannot serve me like that. So I did a U-turn and I went back to the same location. And I went back to the same, and this time I began to pound on the door. I was pounding on the door. I said, if there's anybody in this house, at least they must get up and come and tell me that these boys are not here. I pounded on the door and I pounded on the door. Nobody came out. Then on my way out, just as I was leaving, I could hear the door unlocking. So I looked back and here was a woman, you know, who told me that the boys do not live there. The boys do not live there. Do you see? Such experiences can be very discouraging. Do you get it? They can be very discouraging. So the Anakazo man, he said that all the people with one consent, like one agreement, in synchrony with each other, they said they cannot come. So even though they had different reasons and different excuses, it all boiled down to the same thing, which is that the invitees did not come. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you invite someone to come to church or invite a soul to come to church, you know, and the person does not come, you should not be discouraged. You should not be surprised, first of all. Are you getting what I'm saying? You should not be surprised. You should know that that is the reason why we invite many. Do you see what I'm saying? Like the Anakazo man, he says that he made a great supper and bade how many? Three. No, he bade many. So we are told about three. And it sounds as though he invited only three people to the party. And those three, when they came up with the excuses, then left his house empty. But I believe there are many others who were invited who didn't show up. Do you see? Yes. That's why we need to invite many. We need to cast our net wide. We need to go out for a bigger haul. We need to cast our net much wider than we have cast it. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
I believe that we need to, each of us needs to have a weekly target for how many people we invite to church, knowing that a large number of them will not come.
Yeah.
Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
So he bade many, and then he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. Do you see? And the first one said this, the second one said this, the third one said this. And then the servant came and showed his lord these things. Verse 21. Then the master of the house, being angry, you see, you get it. So you can see that he has the same frustrated feeling as you also have when you invite people and the people do not show up. So don't feel too bad about your ill feelings. Be encouraged. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. That it is painful. If you try to have a party and people don't come, you see how painful it is. After you spent a long time, you got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and started seasoning your chicken, you know, and at 8 o'clock you got your pork also ready and you put it in the oven. Your whole house is smelling of food and you've cooked and cooked and cooked the food. The smell of food has entered every part of your house, your nose, your hair, your clothes. Every part of you is smelling like chicken. You should pray that someone doesn't confuse you with the food. Do you see what I'm saying? And then when it's supper time, the people simply do not show up. Try, when someone invites you to something, try to attend it. Amen. Try to attend it. Yeah. Even when you have food in your house, you try. Go and eat the person's food just for its sake. Because it's such a frustrating feeling to put in the effort and the people do not come. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? And so, but what I want you to see is the relentlessness with which the man pursues people. Amen. Which is that we're talking about the burning desire, that desire must not be quenched. Yeah. It must not be quenched by the experiences, by the excuses, by the absences. It must not be quenched. You must not lose it. Because if you lose it, that is the end. Hallelujah. Amen. It takes a lot to win a soul. That is why it's called winning, because there's a battle for a soul. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It takes a lot to win a soul, you see. And so we must have that burning desire. And when we have that burning desire, we're going to deploy all other methods and all other means, conventional and unconventional, to eventually get some people to come to Christ and to his house. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So I believe that's the basis for which Pastor Charles has been teaching us the things that he has been teaching us, you know. And today, you know, chapter 7 talks about church growth and the rod. Yes. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Okay. So chapter 7 talks about church growth and the art of wielding a rod and staff. Amen. Now, a rod and staff represents the equipment of a shepherd. Hallelujah. So a shepherd's profession as a shepherd requires him to use certain tools, isn't it? Just like every profession has the tools that represent it, isn't it? Yes. So, like it says here, guns are the equipment of soldiers with which they kill and destroy. It's a pity that guns today are found in the hands of even regular people who also use them to do what soldiers are supposed to be doing. You know, and just sometimes kill innocent people and all that. Right. Now, how to use your rod and your staff, you know, as a shepherd to accomplish church growth. Amen. Amen. Now, the first one here is that they are used to lead and rule, isn't it? The rod and the staff is used to lead and to rule, right? And that talks about leadership and leading with strength. You get it? But I want to jump on to the second one, which is the rod and staff are used for making a way-making ministry, right? It is for making a way for people to be able to follow you as a shepherd and as someone who is leading them to where they must go, which is the house of the Lord. So in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, lift up thy rod." Let's read Exodus 14, 15. "And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward," right? And then verse 16, "But lift up thou thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Amen. Amen. Now, in this little passage, we can see that it is not enough for the shepherd or the basenta leader or the church worker or whoever it is who is trying to mobilize people to come to just give an invitation and say, "Come." Are you getting the picture? Yes. But we see that beyond giving an instruction, we must proceed also to make a way for the people to obey that instruction or that direction. Are you getting the picture? So Moses spoke in verse 15. Look, let's go back to verse 15. It says, "The Lord spake to Moses and told him, you know, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward." Do you see? That they go forward. But following that is the question, how? Do you see? It's like, how? Now, this place where they were standing, there was the Red Sea in front of them. Do you understand? So sometimes we direct people on what to do. Let's go to church, come on Sunday, and so on and so forth. But people often have genuine obstacles and genuine things that are holding them back, and that makes it difficult for them. As willing as they are to obey your direction, they just can't do it. Are you getting the picture? Oh, yeah. They just can't do it. And those obstacles range, a wide range of obstacles indeed, including even simply waking up from bed. Yeah. Because for some people, the sleep experience is really a kind of dying. Do you get it? Yes. For some people, like, the sleep experience is a kind of partial death. You get it? It's halfway through living and dying. Do you understand? Yes. And waking up is a process. Do you get it? It can take them the entire duration of our service for them to even just wake up. It's a resurrection, yes. For them to wake up is the equivalent of having an Easter every Sunday. It's a resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday is an Easter Sunday for them. So some people need help. Do you get it? You see, it is very easy to underestimate what it takes someone to be you. Let me say that again. I'm saying it is very easy to underestimate what it takes someone to be you, as in to behave like you. Do you see what I'm saying? To do the things you do with ease. For many of us, coming to church now is like second nature. I mean, for us, it's just what we do. Rather, not coming to church is what we need effort to do. Isn't it? Yes. Because there are many of us who have had the habit. We've trained ourselves. We have put so many things on hold over the years and over the months. We have committed our Sundays to serving the Lord. We have advanced very much in our walk with the Lord. We don't need anybody to tell us. In fact, nobody even calls on us on Sunday for anything, because everybody who is anything in our lives is now used to the reality that we are not available. Even our employers. Yes. Some of us have been able to secure jobs and we've made it a condition with our employers that we don't do Sundays. Yeah. And they have accepted it. Even in dire situations, they will not ask you to come and work. Then there are some who have made arrangements, special arrangements, to work maybe on Sunday night or Sunday afternoon or something, but never Sunday morning. Do you get it? But there are a lot of people who are not that advanced in their arrangements and in their understanding, or even in their effort to free up Sunday. Do you see what I'm saying? There are people who genuinely mean it when they say they'll come. But they're making a promise before they consider what that promise will cost them. Do you see? Yeah. They wake up in the morning and realize, you know something? I'm not awake. I'm not awake. You get it? Yes. And today is daylight savings, isn't it? Last night I was up at 1 o'clock or something, and then before I knew what was going on, it was 3 o'clock. I remember seeing the clock. I thought it was 1 something. When I checked, it was now 3:24. I said, what is morning already? No. I tell you, what a difference 1 hour makes. Do you see? So for somebody who already struggles with waking up, who now has to deal with the change, it is very easy for them to donate the service and the Sunday to the Lord. Say, Lord, this time, today, I give you the day itself. You can have the day, not me. Just the day itself is yours. Hallelujah. So we need to understand there are obstacles, genuine obstacles, that people have to overcome. And some of them are even spiritual. You know, waking up, some of those ones are just the natural ones, what to do with their children, what to do with this, what to wear, how to get here, etc. Some of those are just physical things. But there are also real spiritual obstacles. There are demons that are sent to people to keep them in the bed. You know, you wake up like that and say, hey, where are you going? Come on, go back. So there is a need for us to make a way for people to be able to obey God and to obey and to follow even the commitment that they have made to come to church. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. And we shouldn't take that for granted. We shouldn't take that for granted. Hallelujah. Amen. So the rod and the staff are used for making a way. Now, Moses told the people, go forward, go forward. But it's like, how do we go forward? The one who is saying, go forward, or who is saying, do it, also has the responsibility
of making a way for the people to do what he's saying they must do. And if you are not prepared to do that, then don't ask people to do it. Because many people on their own cannot do what you are asking them to do. Hallelujah. Are you understanding it? Many people cannot really do what you are asking them to do. Amen. Amen. So it is important. Look at the verse 16 says, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and you divide it. Do you see the thing? Yes. It's easy for you to stand somewhere and say, you know something, you guys, we are going through the sea. Is that clear? 1, 2, 3, move. But now, if you will take on the challenge of taking the difficulty out of it, you see, perhaps people will follow and people will do it, whatever the difficulty is. Do you understand? Whether it is transportation, whether it is what to wear, you know, whether it is waking up early, you know, some people have to be waking up literally. I'll call you at 7. I'll call you at 8. Or I'll come to your house. I've heard about shepherds who have gone to people's homes in places where maybe the tap was not running or something. And before the person could use the absence of running water as an excuse, the shepherd has actually showed up with a bucket of water. What a shepherd. Way making shepherd. The shepherd has arrived with the water. Yeah. And she's knocking on the door. Hello. So as you're opening the door, before you can say that, you know something, you know, they turned off the taps in my area or something, and, you know, I can't take a shower, can't easily come to church. So, you know, before you can even go down that road, the shepherd has the bucket of water, and the shepherd says, here is your water. I'm waiting right here. Just take a shower and we go. Making a way. Sometimes the excuses people have, I have to go and do this. One of the ways you can make for them is to do it for them. Or to make a promise to accompany them to do it after. I'm going to take you. Where are you going? You say you want to go down to wherever. DJ, where is that place where your aunt lives? Temecula. Temecula, that's far. Yes, because you go to the person and you say, I want to pick you up. Oh, you know something, my auntie in Temecula, I need to say. How about you come with me to church, and after church, I'll drop you off in Temecula. Because you're probably going to get there around the same time anyway. By the time you take the train, from how many trains do you have to take to get here from Temecula?
One train.
One train plus several buses. So how long does it take in all?
7 hours.
Just come to church and I'll drop you off. Yeah. 7 hours, yes, if you get on a plane. You fly from here to New York. And turn around and check in and get back on the plane and get off just when it's about to take off. That's 7 hours. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. And so even making such an offer is actually making a way. Are you getting it? Yes. Our sacrifices for the Lord and his work are not only going to be found in giving offerings. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, there are many other ways that serving the Lord will require you to sacrifice. Sacrificing your time, sacrificing the gas that it takes to go to Temecula and back. Yes. It's still cheaper than Uber. Yes. Many times if we even offer to drive people, it will cost us less. Which is that it will cost you less in terms of money, and you donate the time and save the Uber money. Because honestly, if you're going to pay $40, $50 every Sunday, of course, if you can afford it, that's a blessing. But I don't know that there are that many people who can Uber people $40, $50 this way for you to be in church and another $50 to go back after church. I don't think they can do it for long enough. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. So it will bite into your skin. You need some skin in the game. Do you understand? Yes. You need to put yourself in the game and make some sacrifices to make a way so that somebody can be in church, that Christ may be formed in them. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Right? So we need the way making ministry. That's what the rod and the staff represent. That is what it is used for. We need to make a way for people to be able to serve the Lord and people to be able to come to church. It will make the church grow. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, there are other ways that you make a way for sheep to want to be in church and to like the church. Hallelujah. There's a point here about making a way for your sheep to get married. Yeah. You get it. Church gets more interesting when there's somebody there that you like. Is that true or false? It gets so much easier to attend church when, apart from being in the Lord's presence, you will also experience other presences. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You see, so sometimes people need to be helped in that area because sheep are such that sometimes they can be so busy eating that they don't notice other sheep that are around. Do you get it? Yeah, because they eat like that. So their heads are bowed and they don't really see that, hey, lift up thine eyes. Do you get it? That right there is what you're looking for. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. And so people can be helped. Amen. Many times as a church, people have criticized us sometimes when you help people to meet other people and so on. You find people criticizing us. You know, the thing about criticism and criticism of church things in particular is that they are endless. Do you understand? They are endless. And so we don't live our lives according to what people say. Do you get it? It seems to be okay for people to take their friends to clubs to meet other friends. Isn't it? It seems to be okay for people to bring someone in. I'll bring my best friend, don't worry. And then the person comes into the house with the best friend. And then before you know it, the one who brought the best friend has to run some small errand. And they will come back and get you shortly. And before you know it, it's just you and... That seems to be okay. In fact, that is clever. And people clap for that. Everybody needs a little help to overcome their problems. Do you see what I'm saying?
Because there are some people who will never see. There are some people, even when they can see, you know, even how to open their mouths to acknowledge what they are seeing, you know, they are going to need a little help to overcome their problems. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Everybody meets someone through someone. You know, yes. Everybody meets someone through someone. You get it? There's always a third party who creates a connection, either actively or passively. You get it? Yes. If you meet someone even on my bus, you see, it is, I have created that meeting by putting my bus on the road. So I may have created that meeting passively, but I still did it. I didn't even intend to do it, but I still did it. If I hadn't put my bus there, you would not be on my bus, and she would not be on my bus either. Do you see what I'm saying? So we shouldn't allow those things to discourage us. Amen. If you know someone that you think will be blessed by meeting someone, feel free and introduce them and feel free and make that connection. Amen. If it's good for business, it's good for marriage. If it's good for what? Business. If it's good for any other kind of help, it is also good for a relationship. Amen. When someone introduces someone to you, it's not a force. Do you understand? It's not a force. It's not. There's nobody forcing you to do anything. Like if I show you where they're hiring people and you go there and it's not a job you like, you never accuse me of forcing you to work somewhere. And if you go there and they don't even hire you, which means they don't like you even though you like them, you don't blame me for they not hiring you. You rather come back to me and thank me for even thinking about you in connection with that job over there. So how come I get into trouble for introducing someone to someone as a potential someone? That's just a, it's just a potential. You know, you just never know, you know. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so I shouldn't be accused of being a matchmaker, you know. And I don't know if it's an accusation or a description. You shouldn't even be bothered by such things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, because sheep like to be where, and they like to play around where the company is interesting. You get it? Yes. Honestly, if you were in love with someone or had a crush on someone in a church, you see how easy going to church is. Oh, yes. Oh, glory. And the longer the service, the better it is. You get it? Yes. And after church, someone will say, oh, why don't you give these people a ride home? Yeah, so long as the carving includes the soul, that's okay. So you're interested in this one, and then you carve the thing widely and say, can you take these people home for me? Yeah. Oh, they'll take them everywhere. We start with this one and follow it with this one, and then we conclude with this one. Yeah. You are making a way. Thank God for people who have made a way for others to be able to serve God and to be blessed. Amen. Another one is to make a way for sheep to find jobs. Yes. If you're in a church and you know how someone can improve their life, you should never hold back in showing someone a couple of steps they may be able to take to improve their lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. We believe in people prospering. We preach about prosperity. We talk about giving.
people giving financially, so many different things we say. Yeah. But now we also have a responsibility for making a way. Do you see? We must make a way for people to flourish. And so if you work in a place and they're hiring people, you shouldn't just sit on it and come here and not really care about who else could benefit from that opportunity. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yes. Don't hold back. The Bible says if you are not faithful in something that belongs to another man, who will give you what is your own?
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You may think you're okay, but you may not know that there are higher things you could have. There are greater things you could have, which you will not come into because you also have not allowed someone to come into that little thing that God has given them through you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's make a way for people to have jobs.
Amen.
Amen? Let's make a way for people to have jobs. If we know jobs, we know professions, we know courses, different things that people can study to improve their lives, let's not hold back. Let's share it with those people so that they can do well. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. And when you go to a church that offers jobs as well, you know, where you meet people who know people, who know people who you need to know, that church is a little more interesting to attend. Yes. Sometimes it's even difficult to quit because the ties are too strong. That's the church of the person through whom I found my job. If I stop going to church, he'll see me at work every day. And he's, you see, so work becomes an automatic follow-up. You see, so let me just go to church faithfully so I'm not harassed at work. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. Right. Then another one is to make a way for the sheep to attend programs in church. Amen. So we try to organize our bacentes and any other programs around the availability of people so that people can attend it. Amen. Yes, because it is real. It is real. And especially the fewer the people are, the more flexible we must be in arranging meetings, both in terms of venue, where the meeting is, and also what time we have the meeting, and even how often we have the meeting. Are you getting the picture? Yes. The smaller the group, the more portable it is. And when it's portable, you can move it around. You can meet today in Burger King, and tomorrow you meet in Taco Bell. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because it's just a same small group of people. So you enter McDonald's today and the seats are all taken, no problem. Listen, can you meet in the Taco Bell across the road? Or how about I come to the one near your house? Do you see? And it's working. All we want is a meeting place so we can sit down for a few minutes. So we're making a way. We're making a way. Amen. And often the stronger person must travel to the weaker person. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. So you tell the person, listen, you just stay there. I'm going to come to you. Yeah, just stay right there. I'll come to you. When I'm 5 minutes from where you are, I'll call you. And you come out and we go together to In and Out. And sit there and have our conversation or have our meeting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's not just do this, as we saw with Moses. Moses obeyed the Lord. The Lord said, tell them to go forward. Fine. Moses said, I will. But now the Lord showed him that it's not just stand there and say, go forward. Stretch forth your rod over the ocean and make a way. Show people how they can go forward with an ocean in front of them. Overcome for them whatever obstacle will hold them back, and they will follow you. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. Now, just for 2 minutes, let me talk about the next one, which is the rod and staff are used for
taking territories in ministry. You must learn to wield the rod and the staff as tools for taking territories. If you have a burning vision for a mega church, you will always want to take more territory. And you can take more territory for God through prayer and fasting. And you can lead your people into spiritual warfare. Amen. So what this point is making is that we need to approach church growth with a spiritual understanding. Amen. Amen. That what we're looking for is not an assembly of people, but it is a spiritual work. Hallelujah. Amen. That we need to approach it with spirituality and understand that being able to go forward physically requires going forward spiritually. Are you getting the picture? You see, let me show you this verse before we even read this one. Now, let's go to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter number 1. The book of Joshua, chapter 1, and verse number 3. It says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. Can you see that? He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. You get it? So you can see that physically, your foot is able to tread upon a certain place. But spiritually, it is because God has given it to you. Do you understand? Yes. God has given it to you. I mean, that of course has to be spiritual because God is a spirit. Amen. Amen. So you are able to go to the places, you are able to enter the places that God has given to you spiritually. And when God has given to you spiritually the place, then you are able to enter it. You are able to enter it because God has given. Notice he's not saying, if you can enter it, I'll give it to you. Do you see what it's saying? It's saying that I have given it to you. That's why you are able to enter it. So the spiritual always precedes the physical. And sometimes the physical does not happen because the spiritual has not happened. Amen. We're not able to enter the places. We're not able to possess the souls. We're not able to take the territory because the spiritual work that needs to go on has not been done. The war has to be fought spiritually and won before the physical possession actually follows it. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? Hallelujah. And so we can take more territory for God by engaging in spiritual warfare. That's why every member of the church, and if the church growth is a burning desire for all of us, if it is not just something in the pastor's mind and heart, but if everybody has a burning desire and everybody is sharing that same desire, then there's no one who must not add themselves to our anti-British campaign efforts. What is our anti-British campaign? Our anti-British campaign is our effort to pray and to do that spiritual work. Are you getting what I'm saying? To do that spiritual work that gives us our physical victories. Right? Now, let's read it. Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, quickly, please. The book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 29. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything out of this at all? Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 21. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 21. It says, "For the pastors are become brutish." Can you see that? The pastors means the shepherds. It means the caretakers. It means the church workers. It means the bus center leaders. All those people are levels of pastors. Do you understand? Yes, they are all levels of pastors. They are all, pastor is the more mature version of it. Do you see? Yes, like it's like female. You can have grandmother, mother, young lady, you know, young girl, baby girl, little girl. What do we call Moses' baby? Newborn. But they are all female. Yeah. So you can have pastors in different shades and grades. Do you get it? So he's saying that regardless of the shade, one thing we can all have in common is that we have become brutish. Brutish makes us not seek the Lord. Do you see? Because we have become brutish, he says, they have not sought the Lord. And therefore, what is the outcome? They shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Do you get it? So our anti-brutish campaign is our efforts towards recovering from the brutish behavior. Do you see? Working against being labeled as such, or fulfilling the description of this label. Do you understand? And how do we do that? That's what makes us rise up every morning, I think for 4 days in a week, right? Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning. And then even on Friday nights, we have tongues night, isn't it? Seeking the Lord and praying for people and praying for sheep, understanding that it is the spiritual first. The soles of your feet will never tread upon somebody's life. You will not have a foothold in somebody's life physically if you don't have a foothold in their lives spiritually. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. If your feet do not step into the person's life spiritually, your feet will not step into their lives physically. So we fight spiritually first. That's why we wake up early in the morning, and for just an hour or a little over an hour, we pray, and that prayer must never stop. Neither should we get tired of it. Neither should we get worn out or feel worn out or even get tired of praying for the same topics. Amen. Human beings are such that we can't do the same thing for a long time. That's why faithfulness is a required quality in stewards. The ability to stay the same and to stay on course. When I was a kid and dreaming about the day when I'll get to drive a car, and looking forward to the day when I'll get to drive a car, I used to practice every chance I got in a stationary car. Any car that was not moving. And my dad had this, you know, I think it was his first car. And it was just parked somewhere in the house, you know. And I used to go sit inside that car, I tell you. And I would roll up the windows to fake air conditioning. And I would be sweating. I tell you, inside the car. It was jacked up and parked on stones. You get it? So it wasn't moving.
But that also meant the steering wheel was free. You get it? I would sit in it. And I thought all that, what happened, you know, like driving, here a little, there a little, here a little, there a little, here a little, there a little. You see, so the first day when I ever got to drive a car, I thought that was the way it goes. Here a little, there a little, here a little, there a little. So I found myself going this way and going this way and going this way and going this way. And the whole thing was just zigzagging all over the place. Do you see? Yeah. And sometimes that's how we are. As servants, we feel that we must change something. When we don't have to change anything, but do the same thing long enough. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is a difference between varying what you do and also not having results because you're doing the right thing, but you're not doing it long enough. Are you getting the picture? There's the story of a prophet, you know. In the book is, where's the book? Let me see. Can't you do just a little bit more? Right? You don't have it here. Can't you do, but there's a book on that. Prophet has a book called Can't You Do Just a Little Bit More. Let me see if I can find that book. Do you have the cover of that book? You can find it. Yeah, sure, to everybody. This is a book that I believe everybody should get. Okay? Everybody should get. Can't you do just a little bit more? You see, a little bit more. Have you found it?
Yes.
Where is it? That's the book. Yeah. Huh, is it purple or? No. Okay, yeah, it's a light color, yeah, like that. Okay, right. But in this book, you find the story of a prophet. Amen. Who was instructed to strike something a certain number of times, and then he struck it just a couple of times or so, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then he stops. Do you see? Yeah. And no, the prophet instructs someone to do it, isn't it? And he tells the person that, why did you stop?
Yeah.
It's like you were on the right track. You were just about to have permanent victory.
Yeah.
But you struck, I think he struck about 3 times or something, and he stopped.
Yeah.
And he said, if you had just struck this thing maybe 5 times or 7 times, he said, if you had done that, you would have had permanent victory. This thing, you would never have seen it again. But now, because you struck it just a few times and stopped, you're going to have a little victory, and after that, this problem is going to be there again. One of the problems we have in life is really not doing enough of the right thing. You get it? Some of the things that we say don't work, we are wrong about them. Not that they don't work, it's we have not applied it long enough. Do you see? Yes. There's a reason why doctors give us the right medication and they want us to take 2 tablets 3 times a day for 7 days. Because it's not just taking the right tablet, it's taking the right tablet enough times. Do you see? Yes. Some people have a habit of just breaking off once they start seeing a little relief, you know. Like when you take antibiotics, they usually give you a course, you know. But you see that you take the first and second time, you start to feel well. You see, you start to feel well. And so you say, oh, it's enough. And you put it aside somewhere. And then before you know it, the whole thing has returned. And it makes you now more resistant. Or the bacteria now becomes more resistant because you have shown the bacteria your ammunition, what you have. So, and you've given him enough break to go and also gather his own strength to come and fight you. So now you see your tablets don't work anymore. Is it making sense what I'm sharing with you? So we need to strike. There's this, it says, and the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria. You know, can you just change this thing? Just because I've been gone for some time. I've forgotten my English. So been hearing Spanish and other languages. So if you change it a little bit. Oh, this one says what? The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you would have struck down Syria until you had destroyed it. Can you see it? But now you shall strike Syria down only 3 times. Do you see? And then what will happen after that? Do you have a verse 20? Right? Elisha died and they buried him. Oh, you see, now the man of God is also dead. So your opportunity is gone. The prophetic word came, and instead of maxing it out, you just lazily applied yourself 1, 2, 3 and stopped, thinking there will always be a prophet. What an unfortunate scripture. So bring back the other one. Bring back the previous verse 19. You see, he says, you would have struck down Syria until you had destroyed it. If you had done it 5 or 6 times. But here we are. We strike 1, 2, and 3. And then, you know something? Let's pray about something else. Can we pray about breakthroughs and prosperity? Because sometimes even the leader of the prayer meeting feels pressure to change the topic. You feel, because people look worn out, they look tired, they look like, look, they are calling for a new topic. Yeah. Enough of praying for the Holy Spirit. Every day, Holy Spirit, why? Every day, Holy Spirit, why? Holy Spirit, why? You know, can we not pray for jobs? Can we not pray for this? Can we not pray for that? So you see that we are doing the right thing, but we're not doing the right thing long enough. Long enough. And we better believe that when you are in a battle, you need to sustain the fight. Are you getting it? Now, that's what brings us then to this other scripture. So let's read it. Let's read about Moses. Moses, you see. I'm blessed already. Amen. Now, mercy. I've lost my page. All right, here it is. Okay. So, Exodus, chapter 17, and verse 9. It says, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill, and the rod of God in my hand. Can you see that? Yes. So Joshua did as Moses said and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the hilltop. Then the next verse, 11. It says, when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. Do you get it? Now you notice how these are the rules for the fight. This is what governs spiritual warfare. Now, obviously, this must be spiritual. Because whoever heard of such a thing? Otherwise, Zelensky would have been somewhere just raising his hands the whole time. Do you know Zelensky? Yeah? The Ukrainian leader, right? All he would have had to do was to go and find some rock and just go like that. And Putin will not see anything. He wouldn't know what overcame him. You get it? Now, the reality is that it is a spiritual exercise. Do you get it? What Moses and his effect on the physical battle was a spiritual influence. So when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. But you see, when Moses would change his strategy and lower his hand for any reason, including going to the restroom, he would come back and find that Amalek has changed the whole thing. Make no mistake about our battle. The work of winning a soul is a battle. It's a continuous battle. The work of growing a church, you know, building the church, is going to call for a continuous battle. Our anti-British efforts are not something we do for a week or two and take a break. Are you getting the picture? Yes, because every time we lower our hands, what happens? The enemy prevails. So look at the next verse next. It says, but Moses' hands were heavy and grew weary. So the other men took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. You see, because physical exhaustion, you see, is not an excuse. You see, it doesn't excuse you from doing what has to be done. Are you understanding it? Yes. The fact that you are tired, the fact that, you know, you are bored, the fact that, you know, you didn't go to bed early, all the factors that will make you lower your hand will not excuse you. Amalek is not going to say, you know something, the guy is tired, so let's also rest. When he comes back, then we start again. That's not how people fight. Rather, when they see you on break, that's when they try to strike the hardest to knock you out completely. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And this is not only for church growth, but even for your personal life. It's for your personal life. Because some of us have a habit of relaxing and relaxing because of some few victories that we've got. But we don't know that the enemy is not stopping. He's not through with you. He's not ending it. You have to stand up and keep fighting until the victory is decisive and clear. And even there, the Bible says he will leave you for a season. Yeah, he will leave you for a season. And come back and check to see if you are still on guard. As long as we remain on this earth, we're going to have spiritual battles. And we must be prepared for a long fight. We must be prepared to continue to fight and to keep fighting. And as for the church and church growth, we must keep fighting spiritually to accomplish it. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and they put it under him. And then he sat on it. Then Aaron and Hur held up his hands. You see, now this is where you try to employ strategies. You see, strategies that make it easier to do what you have to do. But as for doing, you have to do what has to be done. That's why sometimes we pray with music. You see, then the music has to be good music that keeps you, you see, not lullabies. You see, that lull us to sleep. You get it? Because there are certain songs, they encourage sleeping. Isn't it? Before you know it, the prayer is going on. Then soon you see that song has mixed up with your dream. And then at a point, you are praying. Then suddenly you realize that you are actually at a baby dedication ceremony or something. And Eden was there. And Eden was singing a certain song. And then suddenly you start seeing DJ. And then, you know, with a microphone. That's how you know that you're gone. Do you see what I'm saying? You are not here. So we use strategies to keep ourselves doing what we have to do to make it easier. And so he said, Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on the one side and one on the other side, so that his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Do you get it? His hands were steady until as long as the battle lasted. So look at the next verse. Look at the outcome. Verse 13. Verse 13 says, and Joshua mowed down. Do you see? He mowed down and disabled Amalek and his people with the sword, because Moses kept his hand up until the sun went down. Hallelujah. I think I'm sharing some very important things today. Amen. Our lives sometimes are stagnated because we haven't fought long enough spiritually. And so we have not taken certain territories spiritually. And you can see the spiritual thing affects what is happening on the ground. You see, Moses is doing his spiritual thing, leaving and keeping his hands up, you know, and he has people helping him to keep his hands up. And as long as his hands are up, the battle is falling to Israel. The battle is being won by his people. The physical effects of his spiritual activities are being felt right down there. And Joshua is mowing down people and disabling an entire army because somebody's hands are up. Wow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If we're going to take territories, we have to keep praying and we have to intensify our prayers. Amen. More of us need to join our anti-brutish campaign efforts. More of us need to join the prayer. More of us need to make it a habit. If you join enough times, you will see that waking up is not so difficult after all. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, you will see it will soon become part of your life. And you rather feel discomfort when you haven't been part of it. So I want to encourage everybody. We are back this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I want everybody to be part of it. Amen. Join. Wake up. Even if you wake up late, join. If you wake up at 6 o'clock, don't be shy. We have people who join at different times.
It's true.
Amen. We have people who join it at different times. You get it? So don't worry about that. Whenever you are able to join, you just wake up. We would like you to be there from the beginning. But even if you are not able to make it at the beginning, you just join it. Amen. Wake up and join and let's pray together. Remember, the burning desire is in all of us. Should be found in all of us. Not only in the pastors. Not only in a few people. But all of us must burn with the desire to see the church grow, and it will be a blessing to all of us. Amen. Stand to your feet. I think that's enough preaching for somebody who has not been around for some time. I think it's enough. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. You know, let's pray for grace to do the spiritual things. These two things we talked about. To be masters at making a way for people. And number two, to engage in our territory-taking activities in order to have the victories we deserve. Hallelujah. Everybody just take a moment and just pray and say, Lord, please help us to have victory in this area in the name of Jesus. Oh God, help us to have victory. Help us to have victory, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Yes. Territory taking ministry in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for victory, 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 victory. In the name of Jesus, teach us the art of making a way. In the name of Jesus, teach us the art of making a way. In Jesus' name, and strengthen us not to be brutish, yes, in not seeking the Lord, yes, in not seeking the Lord. Help us to seek you, help us to rise up and seek you and to pray concerning the people, concerning the church, and concerning the work that you have called us to do. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Now, as we close the service, maybe you are online, but you know in your heart that you are not saved. We want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us fall short of God's standards. And if we continue like that, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But if we choose to turn around, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I want to encourage everybody to turn around and turn away from sin and turn towards God by asking Him to forgive your sins and to come into your heart and into your life. And so if you are with us this morning, then I want you to pray with us and say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge my sins and the fact that I have fallen short of your glory. My life as it is falls short of your standards. But thank you for sending Jesus, through whom I can have the gift of eternal life. Lord Jesus, I come to you and I ask you to wash me and to cleanse me by your blood. Please make me a child of God. Forgive my sins and cleanse me from unrighteousness and make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord, everybody. Amen. Amen. Now we want to have communion. Okay, so let's have communion quickly and bring the communion round. Amen. Have you learned something today? How many are going to make a way for people? Not just inviting them, but think also about how they will come. Amen. That is where our one man, one bus kicks in. Do you understand? Yeah, that's where coming to church and bringing people along with you comes in. We must make the effort. Every Sunday, we must think about who is coming with us. Who can I make a way for to be in church? Many people, especially in these days of high gas prices, many people will be happy that someone will come all the way to give them a ride and to take them to church. What do you think? Even you, would you not like a ride to church? If you could park your car, would you not do so? Yeah. Someone will come to Temecula and get you. You see, thank you. So we want to do that. Amen. And not do it for short periods and stop. Do you see what I'm saying? Because we get worn out. We get worn out too quickly and too easily. But we must persist until the sun goes down. Like Moses, he persisted until the sun went down. Hallelujah. And God gave him victory. I see God giving you victory, both in the church work and in your personal life, in Jesus' name. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. Now we're going to join the prophet at the Flow Church, and together we're going to have communion. Amen.
And heal you through this holy communion in Jesus' name. The body of Jesus broken so that you not be broken. In Jesus' name. And the blood. Today the blood. Lift your hands like this. Remember, Jesus was nailed in his hands and blood came out. Why? The blood that Jesus shed that came for his hands was to bless the work of your hands.
Amen.
Your work
Amen.
In this life Amen. Is cleansed Amen. And blessed by the blessing that comes from the blood. Father, let the blood of Jesus touch every hand, even as the blood came out of your hands for our hands. Thank you that our hands are blessed hands, and everything that we touch and we get involved with will be blessed. The blood of Jesus. Lift your hands for your blessing. May the Lord bless you. The Lord increase you. Your church, your ministry,
Amen.
Your life, your business,
Amen.
Whatever concerns you, may the blessing of the Lord that has come on your hands because of the blood,
yes.
May your hands be blessed and your work be blessed. If the Lord does not bless you, who can bless you? May your ministry see great increase,
Amen.
Great blessing.
Amen.
Whatever time of the day you are watching this, may you experience great blessings of the Lord. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, the blood that came from the feet.
Yes.
May every journey that your feet take, every place that you put the sole of your foot on, be blessed. Be blessed.
Amen.
Be healed.
Amen.
Be cleansed.
Amen.
You no more go to places to sin because of today's blessing.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And these hands will no more be used to sin and to do evil.
Amen.
May this blessing rest upon you.
Yes.
The Lord make his face shine on you.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord bless you.
Thank
and the Lord help you.
Thank you.
Live long. Survive every test. Come out shining for the glory of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord remember you
Amen.
Beautifully.
Amen.
The Lord give you a car this week.
Amen.
The Lord answer your prayers.
Jesus.
The Lord strengthen you and help
yes.
you to pass your tests.
Yes.
Financial tests.
Yes.
Marital test.
Yes.
Character test.
Yes.
Family test.
Jesus.
Complicated tests.
Yes.
Tests of unknown origin.
Yes.
Tests of things that you cannot share.
Yes.
The Lord strengthen you.
Hallelujah.
The Lord help you.
Yes.
And remember you. May his face shine on you.
Amen.
May he give you peace.
Amen.
May his hand be into your affairs. May his hand be in your affairs.
Yes, Lord.
May his blessing be upon you and within you. I bless my children. I bless those that God gave to me. Help them, Lord. Strengthen. Thank you. Thanks for your blessing. Cover them, Lord, with your feathers. From coast to coast. From east to west, north to south. thank you. Thank you for good news and good things. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Amen.